decisiones nos permitirán la región.
Does that sound exciting to you?
Welcome back. Yes, indeed, this is the Mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghost Meta Demoner show. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, GD Nation, welcome back to studio.
Welcome back, welcome back. Vaughn, I'm actually here, and you can hear me.
I can hear you. I can hear you. I didn't think we was going to make it, man. Oh, God.
It's amazing what we can actually do when we have no money and we try to put on a show anyway. It happens.
Yeah,
you see?
It just comes together.
It's part of the universe. It's out there and it comes in, and I feel like I could conquer the world right now, and but I'm probably not going to get that chance.
All right. That's terrific. Anyway, guys, welcome back. Like I said, GND Nation, we are live in studio. That means, of course, this is Sunday night. The night you want it. The night you waited for all week long. Huh, Nathan? Yes.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yes.
It's one of those times when you just sit back, you relax, you let Sean's deep tone of voice wash all over you. And
wash? You've never used that word in my name in the same sentence.
Your name and that word has never come together before.
I know. It hasn't. Hey, we got to say a big shout out to the mothers out there of the GND Nation.
It's true. I did call my mom today. Actually, she called me. She called me.
Okay.
She called me before I could call her. She blocked me. You know, I was trying to do the big, you know, good son thing, and nope, she beat me to it. She called me and reminded me to call her. So it.
Right. What'd she say when she called? She said,
I was just calling you to remind you that I won't be in the house today if you want to call me for Mother's Day. But actually, since I've got you on the phone, why don't we just talk right now? And
Now, see, that's nice. See, a lot of mothers would call you and just give you grief. They'd say,
oh, my mom has never given me grief.
Yeah, no doubt. Nobody's mother ever has. You know, I wish we had the phone lines up this weekend. You could call in and give your favorite mother's story. Maybe we shouldn't have done that, but
would have to have the bleeper under control right there.
We would. You know, I was gonna read into that for this special GND edition of your Mother's Day special. This is for all the ladies out there. This show is dedicated to the moms, the ones that wipe the noses and butts and I'm a dad, and I did that too, but it seems like we don't, we get Father's Day, but it's for different reasons. Mama, everybody always runs to Mama. They always said if something's not lost until Mama can't find it, and that's true. I got to say, the women out there, you guys have been great. You always keep everything running. You keep us guys going. Right, Demon Hunter?
That is correct. I sent my mom a card, and I said, Mom, I think back when I was a child, and people would say, how do you keep an eye on Nathan with his running around like that?
And you were telling me, you're a major disappointment, son.
No, she told people that, you know, she didn't have to worry about me because she knew what kind of a boy I was, and she didn't have to worry. She knew I'd behave.
Yeah.
And I sent her a card saying, Mom, I always thought that said something about what kind of boy, what kind of son I was. But now I know it really said something about what kind of mom you were.
Oh, is that good or bad? you lost me with the story.
I left it open to interpretation.
Oh, well, you know, what are you going to do?
You don't have what they call the social skills.
You know, I tend to let those stories get away from me, don't I? I'm that guy in the room who's sitting there telling you the story about, you know, the great goat story, and all of a sudden I go, squirrel!
Rock! Yeah, ADD radio, man. But yeah, the Mother's Day, I called my mom today, Demon Hunter. I called her.
But did you call her, Sean?
No, I called her on the phone. I woke up around 11:30 a.m., true ghost man fashion. Working nights, man. You know, you're all jacked up. You sleep in. and everything. So I called Mom, and of course she was in bed. So I talked to Dad, and
talked to Dad for Mother's Day.
I talked to Dad for Mother's Day, and he said, "Well, yeah, you know, she's in bed, but we call back." So she was calling me right before the show, and you know, leave it to your mother to pick the worst time to call.
Well, to be fair, I'll give you that.
Yes, be fair.
I was at work this morning.
What's up, homie?
Yeah.
As you know, I work on the weekends, and I had...
You do.
You know, I was controlling a certain part of the my workplace, and I had a headset on, and people are talking, like six different people are throwing commands at me, and I'm trying to keep everything in order, and... As I'm doing all this, my phone rings, and I see it's my mom, and it's Mother's Day, so I have to pick up the phone.
Right.
So I'm talking to my mom. I'm like, "Yeah, Mom, happy birthday. Copy that. I'll be right there." "Yeah," or "Happy Mother's Day. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm talking to six people at once, but you were more important. I wanted to tell you I love you. Yeah, I'll be right there. Give me a second. I just wanted to say
that." Uh-huh. And then your mom you said, "Mom, I really got to go." Okay,
Eventually, she just said, "You sound busy. Call me back later."
Yeah. Well, my mom. I love her to death. She'll call when I'm at work, and, you know, you'll be talking, you know, and she'll be giving you the whole, "Hey, well, Danny, do you remember this guy, the Uncle Bob's three-time removed cousin on this side? Somebody's always died, right? I mean, somebody's always died in the family, right?" I mean, dropping like flies, apparently. People you've never heard of.
It's funny. My brother and I have that same kind of thing going on with my mom. We know if a story starts with, "Do you remember Mr. Cheda? He used to live up the hill.
Yeah.
He used to play in his yard. He built you that treehouse. He's dead." Oh, gee, thanks, Mom, for bringing back those wonderful memories and then crashing them down like that.
That's what you should, that's when you kick in and say, "You know what, Mom? I don't care, because he touched me." Huh? "He touched me." In a no-no place, then she breaks down.
There would just be a long pause and then screaming on my mother's. "I'm going to go dig him up. Bye."
"And I'm going to get him." Crazy uncles. Crazy uncles. Yeah, but anyway, that's... you got a good Mother's Day story? Do you got one good Mother's Day story?
You know, what's a good Mother's Day story? I mean, to be fair, Sean... Do you really have a good Mother's Day story? Because we're guys. We buy flowers and cards, and we give them to our mom, and we tell her we love her. But, you know, that bonding that sometimes goes on between mother and daughter, I don't think we really get that.
I don't know. I remember growing up, you don't want to... There's rules that you figure out about mom and dad. And I remember... when I was growing up, my dad had sent me to a Christian school to start out when I was a kid. You know, he wanted me to grow up right. That
that worked well.
That didn't work. No, and of course I didn't stay there a long time. But the Christian school was very strict, and they had they had rules, and they had paddling and stuff like that. Which, ooh, of course, today, yeah, of course today,
that's people, where you got your addiction to paddling.
Yeah. Of course, today, if you did the stuff they did back then, you'd be in prison. But anyway, I went to that school, and I remember I got busted for chewing bubble gum in class. And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sacrilege.
And I got in trouble for chewing bubble gum in school. And I think the lady had told me like three times not to, but I went ahead and did it anyway. I did the side chew, you know, when they weren't looking, you chew it. But then I got concentrating on my homework or whatever, and I start chomping on it, and she caught me. So I got in trouble there, and dad's rule was always, you get trouble school, you get trouble home. So I remember you always wanted dad to do the discipline in the house, because moms freak out. You don't want mom going around the house crazy with a switch.
And for my mom used the wire end of the fly swatter.
See? And for the youngsters who don't know what a switch is, that's a branch pulled off of a tree that would whip you about the ankles and back of the... They'd never hit the tush, right?
Now, my mom made it right there on the small of the back and the tush pretty well. Yeah, it's...
Yeah, she got it real good. I believe...
She had good aim.
Yeah, I believe
that. I do remember as a kid... You know, when Mother's Day would be coming,
yeah,
you'd be in art class.
Okay.
And they tell you to make like a clay, something clay for your mom.
Right.
And I would always, you know, my dad smoked. My mother has never smoked a day in her life. But the only thing I could ever make was an ashtray. So my mother must have had like 20 ashtrays from me.
Mm.
And she kept them all. God bless her. She kept every one of them. I think she still has most of them like on a shelf in her apartment.
Did she really? She kept every one of them?
Yeah, she really did. All those horrible glazed blue like ashtrays that still have like lumps in them from where your thumbprints were and stuff. And
oh my God.
I remember one year I made a hand, one of those things where you stick your hand in the paste.
What?
And you make a mold of your hand.
Yeah.
And you like write your name and everything. And I had a friend over, this little girl named Cindy, and she was looking at it and she picked it up and she dropped it and it broke into like six pieces.
Oh no.
And I thought my mother was going to kill my friend.
Little Cindy Woohoo.
Yes, who was no more than, didn't get any older than two. I didn't expect her to. No, it's a.
Oh, wow.
It, but my mom calmed down shortly thereafter and apologized for losing her temper. But I truly felt her heartbreak at that particular moment.
Because she lost an ashtray. That's a sad story.
Story. Yeah, but I mean, it shows you how much she cared.
Yeah, that's true. I would.
Inconceivable.
I remember my mom taking me to the movies. I remember we'd go to the movies, and mom was a freak with the. She dressed up. She'd wear masks and stuff like that, and she would scare us. We already lived in a house where stuff would happen, you know, ghostly stuff. And to add to that, my cousin Eric would come over, or my cousin Sandy. And we'd watch Sammy Terry Fright Night on Friday nights. And one time I remember mom put a pantyhose over her head. And if you ever seen somebody with pantyhose, you know how their nose goes up and all that.
Yep.
And she went outside and she cut the power to the house. Now, my mom don't even know how to change put gas in the car hardly. But, yeah, she does. But she found out how to cut the main switch to the power in the house. So she cut that off. And was hiding. She got back in the house somehow and hid behind a couch and scared us to death, man. She'd run through the house with flashlights and stuff. Mom was cool. So,
well, you know, my mom never did anything like that. If anything, we tortured my poor mother.
Yeah.
Because Sean will tell you, I'm a practical joker.
Right.
I love to pull practical jokes on people. Mm. I love to stand there with a straight face when people are given impossible news and I try to convince them it's true and... maybe that's why I got into broadcasting. But as a kid, we used to pull such pranks on her. Like, we knew my mother was terrified of snakes.
Oh, yeah.
And so we would buy every rubber snake with our allowance that we could buy and just hide it in places. Hide it in a shoe or hide it in a planter. And she'd go and reach in and there'd be the rubber snake and the planter would go flying. My biggest memory of my childhood with my mom is we lived in a creepy old house. We really did. It was a 200-year-old farmhouse. Yeah. It had been a sharecropper house when, on a giant farm. And my father had bought like 70 acres of it and came with the sharecropper house. We moved in. Bats would get down from the attic and they'd get down and they'd fly to the kitchen.
Bats.
My mom was in the kitchen one day and this bat flew in. And it was like a Mark Twain story. She like literally... pulled the tablecloth off the table, threw it over her head, and crawled out of the kitchen to keep the bat out of her hair.
Ooh, bats! Bats!
It was one of the funniest things. And then my father went in and picked up like a bread basket. Anybody who doesn't know what a bread basket is, you go to like an Italian restaurant and they bring you the bread. That's a bread basket. But basically, he took up a bread basket and caught the bat in the bread basket.
Right.
And scooped it up and took it outside. And my mother made him throw out the bread basket because it touched a bat.
Oh, my God.
Sex demon.
He had a, you had bread baskets laying around the house, like fresh bread and stuff. Was that, I knew you were farm, but did you have like fresh food and stuff every day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We lived on stuff that my mother cooked and my father grew. We were poor, but we never went hungry because we always had a freezer full of beef and a coal cellar full of vegetables. And, you know, it was.
So you had a. Did you do your own butchering? Did you kill a.
Yes. Yes, we did. Well, it depends. Like for deer and stuff like that, we'd we'd butcher the deer ourselves. But if it was like a cow, we'd take them to the slaughterhouse. But we got a discount if the cow was already dead and gutted. So what my father would do is take the cow out to the edge of the cornfield, lean it up against a truck, pop a 22 into its head, and tip the cow over into the truck while we did it, and then gut it, and, you know, then we'd just bring the gutted cow to the butcher shop.
And that's how they did it.
Yep.
That's how they, you took it to the butcher shop. And,
yep.
The butcher would
punch you in the mouth.
Yeah, the butcher would just cut it up, and you would be good for the wintertime.
Oh, yeah. I remember one time we had grown a bunch of pigs, and come around springtime, I came home and all the pigs were gone. And I loved those pigs. They were fun to watch. They were fun to chase until they got big enough to chase me.
You chased pigs?
Oh, yeah. Then I came home one day and the pigs were all gone. And I asked my brother where the pigs were, and he went over to the freezer and opened the freezer door and pulled out a bag full of tails. Because that's how you told you could tell how many pigs they'd slaughtered for you. They'd give you the tails back.
Right.
And he showed me the tails, and I freaked out. And then he went one step further and told me that what they were going to do was slice the tails in half and press them with an iron, and that's where you got bacon.
So basically you chased tails, and when you found them, you split them in half.
I'm here for the gangbang. I'm here for the gangbang.
Chasing tail. Oh, my God, man. That's a good story. Anyway.
Now that we've gone into the deep, dark past of the Demon Hunter.
Yeah, and you chase tail and split tails in half, man. That's crazy.
So behave.
By the way, Sean, you remember we weren't on the air last week, but the week before that, when you were telling me about the UFO in the shape of a kangaroo or something.
Kangaroo head.
Kangaroo head UFO.
Yeah.
That was wandering around the
Take them beans!
Around the airport. That looked suspiciously like a cloud.
It was.
I'm sure it was a kangaroo head UFO. Like
I didn't see it this week, actually. For the people just tuning in, Demon Hunter, maybe we should tell them that week before last on the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show live, I told a very terrifying, shocking story, if you will, about my UFO encounter that happened.
That looked like a cloud.
Yeah, I was driving to work, and it followed me. And it was in the shape, it was a cloud in shape of a UFO with a kangaroo head on it. And you could even see the windows. Yeah. So Nathan was trying to
It was camouflaged. It thought nobody is going to believe that we're a UFO because we look like a kangaroo head.
Right. So go ahead. What was you getting ready to
I was going to tell you that I, too, thought I may have come in contact with an alien species this week.
Don't be a moron.
Really?
No, it's true. It's true. I went out on my back porch and I thought for sure that... there were aliens all around me communicating.
Really?
Would I lie?
Yes. You're going to ask me?
Oh. This is what I heard, Sean.
Oh, my goodness.
Turns out... it was not aliens after all. I did not go on with the belief, despite that I did not say that alien could be a cloud. No, it must be a UFO. No, I said that could be aliens, but there must be a better explanation.
See?
Turns out I am in a location that is being infested with the 17-year cicadas.
Yeah. So 17-year cicadas?
Yep.
So those big winged things that we get here in Indiana, you get down there, but they stay for 17 years?
No. Every 17 years, they come out.
Really?
We have 7-year cicadas, and we have 17-year cicadas.
Uh-huh.
And these are the 17-year cicadas, and they're huge. And they like to sit in my backyard and scream at each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand it is the mating call of the cicada that we're hearing.
Really?
They're trying to get busy.
I know I felt aroused. Listen to it.
You feel aroused. Never mind. There's too many things I can come up with.
Play it again. Play it again. I've never heard it. Where are they from? Where are they? Are they from?
They're from all over. This particular batch is coming up from, I believe it's South Carolina, up the coast, all the way up here to Connecticut.
Right.
so that you can hear them all along the coastline.
Did you hear them getting it on? Somebody got excited about that.
Candy bars.
Oh man. So those are what they sound like. That's the cicadas. Now here you sit on the back porch and you listen to them, and they're kind of soothing actually. This kind of zzz, zzz.
Out here they fly giant kangaroo head UFOs.
That sounded like a yeah, that sounded kind of like The Howling. Do you remember, I was telling you that the other day, do you remember the opening to The Howling? Or not the opening, but the lady who was, first off, do you remember the movie The Howling?
Of course I remember the movie The Howling. Classic. That's right up there with, you know, Fright Night and Lost Boys for vampires. If you're a werewolf fan, you have to know The Howling.
That was crazy. But they, the woman walks out of the cabin, and that's when her husband was having sex with the werewolf chick, the real hot one with the leather pants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the leather top.
I didn't think she was that hot.
She was busty. But, yeah, and she walked out. She walked out, except for the fangs and the long fingernails and stuff when she turned, of course. But she walked out looking for her husband. And when she was walking around, she heard the werewolf. And now I must think that when I heard it, it was spine tingling. But it wasn't the wolf man at all. It was cicadas.
It was cicadas. That's all it was.
They had the 17-year itch.
Yep.
Is that what you say? 17-year itch?
Now let you just
the 17-year itch? Is that what you get every now and then, Sean?
Yeah, 17.
Is that what you buy the cream for?
Yeah, I'm not married yet, but when you do get it, 17-year itch, buddy.
That's really funky monkey.
Yes. So, anyway, I wanted to tell you guys, I was driving by out here on the south side of Indianapolis, beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. I was driving I like to fish. You knew that, Demon Hunter. I know that.
In fact, we've often spoken that we need to get together for a fishing day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like to fish, so I was out.
I'm here for the gangbang.
I was out there looking for a nice fishing hole, fish spot to go fishing. You don't find a lot of them in the city, right? Unless it's a pay lake. So I found a place that's right down the road, really. And I think it's a church that owns it or something, so I kind of snuck back in there. But I think, and I know you're going to think I'm going crazy here, but I seen, first of all, let me set the scene, okay? I walked out to this lake, and it was kind of moss-covered, and the grass was grown up all around. It looked like nobody had been there for a long time.
Who are you calling a psycho?
So I walked out there, and I'm trying to, you know, be all quiet and everything, because the church is right there, and I had my fishing pole, and I was getting ready to cast in. I baited my hook, and there, right there in the middle of the pond, I seen a big splash. I mean, a huge splash. Now, you know a lot of these moss-covered lakes and stuff like that, they have big, ginormous snapping turtles, carp, stuff like that in it.
Sure, sure.
Well, I seen a big fin. I mean, like a abnormally sized fin. Like a, and I thought to myself, I wonder if mermaids are real. Huh?
So let me get this straight.
That blonde chick's a dude?
Huh?
So let me get this straight.
Yes.
So you don't have to pay for it. You go to church looking for fish hole.
You're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell.
All you get is a little fin.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, little fin. Ah, we need canned laughter for that one. A little fin? You were talking about splitting hogtail? It's a dirty show, man. This was a dirty show we had here going on today.
It must have been something in the coffee we drank.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I wanted to say, though, we're getting off topic again with our ADD. But, yeah, mermaids, I think, exist. And they're right here on the south side of Indianapolis. So.
You don't think maybe, like you said, it could have been a carp. It could have been
pretty big, man.
Pike and pickerel out there.
Yeah, maybe it was Nemo.
They're making a new Nemo movie, Sean. Finding Dory.
Yeah, that's what you're telling me about, huh? You get all the inside scoop. What's going on?
I get everything. If it's Disney or ghosts, I know it.
What do you think?
Don't judge me, monkey.
What do you think about the new Nemo coming out? You think they're going to ruin it, or?
I hope they don't ruin it. I hope it's not like a.
Can you ruin a cartoon?
Well, anybody who saw, Aladdin 2.
I didn't say. Well, you know, with the kids, usually when they're growing up, you have to watch it 7,000 times. So I've seen Nemo probably 300 times. How many times have you seen it?
Nemo? Well, pretty much every time it comes on TV, I wind up watching it. I just love that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good movie. I cried.
I'm an old softie at heart.
I cried at the end of the movie. I did. I don't care. I mean, I'll admit.
I'll be a moron.
I cry at cartoons. But hey, happy Mother's Day, everybody. Before we get off that topic, Mom, I love you.
ADDJs.
That's it.
ADDJs.
Mom, I love you. And here's to many, many, many more Mother's Days in the realm of the living here with us all. But
Mom, I love you more than Sean loves his mom.
See? That's so wrong. Hey, tonight's band, Demon Hunter.
What's that?
Tonight's band.
Please, tell me.
Zombina and the Skeletones, huh?
I think we are on a bit of a trend here, Sean.
I think so, too. What do you mean? What kind of trend?
There's been a lot of zombie talk lately.
Been a lot of zombie talk. But this band comes out of the UK, guys. Zombina and the Skeletones. Look them up online. Just go to zombinaandtheskeletones.com or .net. I should have been more prepared for class, but we didn't have that website. I couldn't find it. They got a Facebook page, guys. Check them out. Go by there. Tell them the G&D show sent you. Great band. I liked them. I was rocking
sure,
out.
Sure, just Google it. Zombina and the Skeletones. I'm sure there can't be many of them out there.
No, there must be one or two or three maybe. But, yeah, how comes it is with the UK, you always have that UK feel? Remember I was playing you the song the other day? I said, tell me which band is from the UK. And I played like two other ones, and then I played the UK. And they have that... They just have that UK sound, right?
Yeah.
Like, bad situation, you know. What do you call that? What is that?
You're asking me about music?
Yeah. I'll be a moron.
Well, you like show tunes, so you might, I figured you'd know.
There's a difference between a Broadway show and
inconceivable!
That.
Inconceivable!
What's your favorite?
I listen to theremin music. I don't know.
Here's something you never hear again. What's your favorite show tune? Huh?
That's something you'll never hear on a show like this. No. What's my favorite show? It would probably be from the movie musical Jekyll and Hyde, A World That's Gone Insane.
A World That's Gone Insane. I never even heard. I didn't know that even came out there. I didn't.
Jekyll and Hyde. You never knew that?
No, I knew Doctor. I knew the movie.
Opening weekend. Broadway.
Hey, I was looking through the 1001 Horrible Facts from the Yuckapedia of Gross Truths About Everything by Anne Rooney, Demon Hunter. I dusted off the dust, or bust off the dust, blew off the dust, and I got the book out of the archive. What do you think about that?
Well, okay, hey, Sean, before we go into that, can I correct my answer? My favorite Broadway show song?
Yeah, go ahead.
Would be One Night in Bangkok from the musical Chess.
Yeah.
That would be my favorite song. Even you know that song.
One night.
Are you a pothead, Farker?
One Night in Bangkok. By who?
It was from the musical Chess.
Musical Chess. See, I'm not up to date on my music.
All right, tell your story. Go on.
Let's see. My pretty.
Okay.
How come every time I talk about show tunes, you make me sound stupid?
Okay, here's one from the Yuckapedia. An unusual form of drug abuse is licking cane toads. We've all heard about toads. You can lick them. But cane toads, they make a slime coating, a drug which produces hallucinogens. Hallucinations, I'm sorry. Strange experiences or visions. People in some parts of Australia and the U.S. have started licking the toads to enjoy the drug. Huh? Have you ever licked a toad? Listen, you've been out there on the farm. You chase pig's tail and split it. And have you ever licked a toad?
I have never licked a toad.
Hmm.
And as for everything I chased on the farm, Sean, the reason we kept such high fences around the sheep was because you might come and visit.
Hoo-ah! Well, yeah, I always wondered if that was like mushrooms. You know, because they got hallucinogenics. They got shrooms.
Well, they have a poison, you know, for Pete's sake.
Was it like LSD?
Well, it's a poison. So any poison, if you take it in a low enough dose, it's going to have a side effect.
Okay.
Other than death.
Kids, if you're listening in, which you shouldn't be because your parents are terrible if you are, don't take poison, even in low doses.
No.
To get high. Don't do it.
Never.
Because
but what I'm saying is it, that's what you remember kids used to huff. And I'm not going to explain what huffing is because I don't want kids going out and trying it because they heard it on the Ghost Man Demon Hunter show.
No, you used to huff.
I never huffed. Are you kidding? I was so asthmatic as a kid, I could barely breathe on my own. I didn't need to add anything like that.
Right.
But all those kind of things are just poisons that stop oxygen from going to the brain. And when you stop oxygen from going to the brain, you hallucinate.
Yeah. Was that
That's
it?
That's all you have to say.
The very, very interesting. Hey, Victorian children were often given their own salt cellar, which they were told was a sign of being grown up. In fact, the salt was mixed with bromide, which made them calmer and better behaved. Did you know that? Victorian children.
So they basically, that was the early form of Ritalin.
I don't understand that. What, they store in a salt cellar? Is that?
Probably they kept their own salt cellar for like storing their own salt. And they, because salt was hard to come by back then.
It was.
If you had salt, you were considered to, it was almost a form of currency. In some places, you could trade it.
Form of currency. You could trade some. I got to brush up on my history here, you know?
Well, think about it.
Salt.
You go in, it's a mineral, right? Mm-hmm. You go in with a mineral like gold, you can trade it. If you go in with a mineral like salt in a time when it was hard to come by, you could trade it.
You could trade it. You could trade just about anything. Beaver, hair, furs. And lion
John's
skin.
John's always thinking about the hairy furs.
Hairy fur beaver. Scientists are working on a microscopic robotic tadpole. Say that three times. Microscopic robotic tadpole. To deliver medicines, Demon Hunter. The tadpole would swim through the patient's blood vessels to take the medicine where it's needed to go. Where it's needed.
So would it be remote control or would it just know where to go?
I don't know. I think it would be pre-programmed to look for the needs of the patient, I guess, wherever. I don't know. It doesn't go into detail. These are Yuckapedia sick facts. Did you know not all dead bodies rot?
Well, just in general they don't? Or does it depend on where they're buried?
Oh, you know this one. It says under the right conditions, some of the fat can turn into soap-like substance so that the body is dug up. When it's dug up, even years later, it can look much the same as when it was buried. Huh?
Even cleaner if it was Sean.
Yeah. Look at this. I was talking about mermaids. It says fake mermaids, okay? Fake mermaids made from bits of monkey and fish have been produced to fool scientists for years. One claimed to have been washed up by the tsunami in the Asia in 2004. The oldest so-called mummified mermaid is 1,400 years old and is from Japan. Those tricky Japanese.
Didn't P.T. Barnum have one of those?
Yeah. I mean, isn't that like a... We were talking to some people that were in the sideshow, right? We've done that
exactly.
Before. We know some of them. They, I think it's standard now because of P.T. Barnum. Every freak show you go to now, I haven't been to a real one since I was a kid. Have you? Have you ever been to a freak show?
You know, as a kid, they were very common. I would go to them at the fair. My mother would always be angry at me for spending $1 to go see it.
I gotta watch you.
Yeah.
But, you know... In the past, say, decade, I've only seen one. And even that one, I don't think travels anymore.
Yeah. Well, I've seen the one, but I think there's got to be a place online now you can go get a mermaid. I'd like to get one for the studio here.
Of course you would.
A monkey-boned mermaid.
You're still chasing Finn, are you, Sean?
Still chasing fins. Green potatoes contain a poison, solanin, which can be deadly. It develops in old potatoes that are not kept in the dark. Eating 2 kilograms, 4.4 pounds, of the green potatoes could be fatal, Demon Hunter, huh?
How many potatoes do you eat on a normal basis, Sean?
I ate a lot. I ate one today, actually. Went out to eat and had a potato, loaded baked potato, and steak. I felt good about it today. Went out for the Mother's Day dinner. Did you take Chrissy... it was pre-Mother's Day. Did you take Chrissy? You didn't take your mother out. I thought you and Chrissy would take the mother out and you guys
Well, Chrissy has an aunt who she was going to go visit but isn't feeling well. And like I said, I had to work so I couldn't go visit my mom because my mom's several hours away. So I thought it just didn't happen, but I did send my mom a card, like I said. I was a good son.
Well, I thought you
I was. Don't say I wasn't.
I didn't know if you guys would all got together. No, you're a good son. You're a good son. I could tell. I can tell these things. So, well, that's all I got from the Yuckapedia Demon Hunter. That's all I got. That's all I'm going to cover today, anyway.
That's all you're going to cover?
That's all I'm going to cover.
Should we talk a little bit about what's going on in the news?
Well, we probably should. But before we get to that, Demon Hunter, listeners around the world, Demon Hunter.
Tonight.
Tonight's guest. Tonight's guest, author of the X-Heroes Zombie series and many, many more. 14. He actually did some work on the movie Psycho Beach Party, too. We're going to talk about that, man. Huh?
Ooh.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. You ready for it? Peter Kleins, guys. Author Peter Kleins with his X-Heroes series. 14. And many more. He's the cat's pumped out some books, man. He's been doing good.
We got to write a book, Sean.
Yeah, he's on
the
zombie.
Like everybody else out there who thinks they can write a book. We got to write a book.
We do got to write a book. Yeah, but Peter Kleins is good, man. He sent us two books here in studio. Thinking about raffling one off to you guys, huh?
That would be interesting. How would we do that, Sean?
Well, we're gonna have to do it. We're gonna have to open up the phone lines again and get people to call in, or do an online test. You know, have people have a question and they'll have to send in their answers. But tonight's guest, guys, huh? Peter Klein. In the
house. No, Sean, I think that's the longest time you and I have gone on a rant before we've actually said who the guest was.
I think it is. I think we're getting better at the rants. So, yeah, tonight's guest, Peter Klein. I can't, what a great guy.
If you like Ghostman and Demon Hunter rants, please email us at contact@ghostanddemon.com and say more rants, please.
Oh, you'll never hear that. You'll never hear that. Demon Hunter, are you ready?
Am I ready for what's in the news?
In the news. Always hot, always exciting, fresh from the G&D Show vaults.
So fresh that we haven't even had a chance to read it ourselves.
And it starts
right. That's what causes the G&D drinking game.
Starts right now.
If Sean and I accidentally mispronounce a word, or sometimes purposely, because we can't figure out what it says, you have to take a drink. This, of course, does not apply to people listening to the show on a podcast and driving in their cars.
Yes.
We ask that you don't listen to the G&D show, drink, and drive all at the same time.
That's right.
So, Sean,
that's your
alligator grabs Florida man fleeing police.
What was that? Alligator man.
Alligator grabs Florida man fleeing police.
Okay.
Who fled his vehicle was stopped by... Wait, I'm sorry.
Drink!
Start right away. A man who fled after his vehicle was stopped by police was caught by an alligator, authorities say.
Oh!
According to the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, police pulled over a 20-year-old motorist, Brian Zangia, after his car was seen weaving in and out of the lanes in the early hours of Thursday.
Okay.
After stopping, police said Zangia jumped out of his car and ran, breaking through a vinyl fence before disappearing. But hours later, he was located at a nearby hospital where he was being treated for multiple alligator bites. Up here, we get treated for multiple bee stings or mosquito bites. Down there, multiple alligator bites.
Alligator bites.
Zangia told authorities he was attacked by the reptiles as he fled police near a water treatment plant.
Yeah.
He suffered puncture wounds to his face, arms, and underarm.
What a douche.
After being released from the hospital, Zangia was charged with driving under a suspended license, resisting an officer, and fleeing from a law enforcement. Footage of Zangia taken by the Pinellas County Jail, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, have a drink.
Pinellas!
Showed him and his arms in a sling
and
cuts on his face.
Okay.
Millions of alligators are believed to live in the swamps, wetlands, and rivers and lakes in the Florida area neighboring Louisiana. So basically, he tried to run away from the cop, Sean, and he almost got et.
An idiot.
Jumps into a waterworks in Florida?
In Florida or in New Orleans? Because we know a little bit about that, huh?
Well, I jumped in the waterworks in New Orleans.
Yeah. Why don't you tell them the story about that, Demon Hunter, huh?
Well, that was just my own stupidity trying to get a good shot in the middle of the swamp. Yeah. Jumping on a little muddy knoll in the middle of the swamp and going, here, take my picture. And then everybody going, get out of the swamp.
Oh, wow. Is that down in Manchek Swamp where we filmed at?
No, that was down in the Honey Island Swamp. I was down there trying to chase down the Rougarou on my free time.
Rougarou. And for you guys, you guys don't know what the Rougarou is, it's the Wolfman. And that's what the Cajun call the Wolfman.
It's a combination of the Cajun belief in the wolf, the French belief in the Wolfman, and the Native American belief in the shapeshifter.
Shapeshifter. We were actually down there, guys. Nathan and I and some other friends, we looked for the Rougarou while we were filming something else. We were filming the TV show we had. Remember that?
I remember. And remember all the people who told us not to go into the swamp because of the Rougarou.
Said, don't go in the swamp because the Rougarou. No, I don't remember. I couldn't understand what to.
You're going to the swamp, so I don't want you going in there. Okay, oh. Rougarou.
We knew Rougarou, baby. Rougarou. In the news, David Beckman. Not Beckham. Beckman sexually abused a peacock, police said. Demon Hunter. All this farm talk got me in these stories here. A peacock, man. Ooh. A man
It was the name. It got him excited.
Yeah. A man sexually abused a peacock. Starts out simply enough. Which was later found dead in his garage, according to the authorities in Illinois. Roselle. Drink up,
what
guys.
Did he do to kill the peacock?
I don't know. Well, hopefully they're going to detail it. Rosella police. Roselli, please, report that they discovered the dead bird named Phil and learned about its abuse.
The peacock's name is Phil?
Yeah, and they learned about its abuse while investigating an alleged case of indecent solicitation of a child. What's this guy doing? David Beckman, 63, of the Chicago suburb Roselle. Faces three charges of harassment by telephone, unlawful possession of drug paraphernalia, two counts of marijuana possession, attempted indecent solicitation of a child, cruelty to animals, and two counts of battery, NBC Chicago reports. Both the battery and solicitation, Demon Hunter, of a child charges stem from a case earlier this week in Roselle, which involved a child between the ages of 13 and 17, according to the Daily Herald. Beckman was being held at the DuPage County Jail on Friday on a $10,000 bond. That's not enough, man. That's not enough. His arraignment is scheduled for June 12th. We need to fly down there and make sure this...
I actually bumped into my mic. I was so disturbed by this story. Yeah.
We need to make sure this...
Please tell me the peacock didn't choke to death.
Everybody, GD Nation... I'd never done this before. Call the Roselle Police Department and make sure that this man does not get out. He does not need to tear up our society anymore.
He should be banned from every zoo from this day forward.
Yeah. How are you going to do that to a peacock? WNBC. That's going to change NBC's colors now. Isn't that the peacock with the... Never mind. Beckman was being held...
You had to go there, didn't you? We get some of our news from WNBC. I'm going to have to read from Fox, because now we can't read NBC news.
Hold on, I'm not done.
Oh, you're not done?
No. Sadly, the alleged animal abuse isn't the only one to make headlines recently. In April, Curtis Peterson, a Michigan man, Demon Hunter, was sentenced up to 15 years in prison, up to 15 years in prison, for having sex with two dogs. In February, Andrew Mendoza pleaded guilty to public lewdness and criminal trespassing for trying to make a baby with his neighbor's horse. Wilbur, I was thinking it would have a horseman baby, he stated in a court document.
He was looking for a centaur, son.
Horseman. Is that the same as a...
I imagine
a centaur?
So.
I'm not...
Centaur is a... Is a half man, half horse. It's He's been watching too many old episodes of Hercules is the problem.
Huh. Well, I don't know. The dude's crazy. He can't get out, guys. You can't let him out of prison.
He can't.
Yeah.
He's a danger to society. Just imagine if we were all still riding horses. You'd be riding down the streets and they'd be on the back of the horse.
Well, they wouldn't be on the back of the horse with this guy on it. My God, man.
Have you seen my...
What a crazy guy.
Hey, Vietnamese police, Sean, sees 53 king cobras from a car.
Oh, my God.
Vietnamese police say they seized 53 king cobras from a car in Hanoi and arrested the driver. After Dong Van Hung said Monday, officer, Dong, I got the word off with that. I got the word officer wrong.
Did you say Dong Chong?
Officer Dang Van Hung.
Officer Dong.
Said Monday that live snakes were taken, the live snakes were taken to a wildlife rescue center near the capital where they were treated before being released into the wild.
They were released.
King cobras are the world's largest venomous snake and grow up to 5.5 meters or 18 feet. Mm-hmm. The meat of a king cobra is considered a delicacy by some in Vietnam, where hunting and trading the snakes is banned.
Well, yeah.
The snakes are also sometimes preserved in traditional medicine. The snakes, which are kept in a green sack, were seized on Friday. Hang said that the car and driver, this is not me, folks. This is Hang said the car driver told officers he was paid to transport them. Local media reported the man was paid $50.
$50.
Pretty much a dollar a snake.
Okay.
For the biggest venomous snakes in the world.
I don't get that. I can't believe there's people out there that actually keep these things. Or you know that, right? There's people that have pets.
Well, you know, when you go and you see those people who have the venomous, the cobras, and they do the whole tricks with them and stuff like that, there's two different groups of people who do those tricks out there.
Yes.
One group actually does respect the cobra and learns how to move around the cobra to keep the cobra kind of hypnotized. Mm-hmm. And then there are groups that literally defang the cobras. And, you know, just it's like a magic trick. They are trying to convince people that, you know, they can control the cobra, and it's a defanged cobra, so they don't care.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when they're defanged like that, they don't live long.
Inconceivable!
Which means if they release these cobras back into the wild, these cobras all still had their fangs.
Oh, yeah. So then they invaded some house, like 53 of them. Oh, these are like the dancing cobras.
Could you drive with 53 cobras in the back of your car?
I don't know. Hey, can you blow, like, I always wondered this. If you were, what do they, blow on their flute or whatever, and if you see one in the wild and just started pitching out a tune on your flute, would it do the dance?
Well, you know, I kind of think that a lot of that is, like I said, the tricksters who have defanged the cobras.
Uh-huh.
I imagine there are people out there who do know the way to do that, but it's more of the fact that they're in a confined area. They know how the cobra's going to react.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it would quite work the same in the wild. However, you know, if you're like me and you grew up, or I was growing up, but you enjoyed watching the Crocodile Hunter, he kind of did that thing with his hand where he'd wave his hand and the snake would follow his hand.
Yes.
You know, so I imagine it is possible.
Demon Hunter.
Yes.
Deborah Ann Burns. Florida woman says fart in face provoked knife fight.
How did I know you were going to want that story?
I'm ready for it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. It's the ready bell. Here we go. Florida woman says fart in face provoked knife fight, guys. Can you stand it? Too bad. Here we go. A woman from Immokalee, Florida. Drink up, guys. Allegedly threw an 8-inch long kitchen knife at her boyfriend after he farted in her face. Deborah Ann Burns.
Were you in Florida this weekend, Sean?
Deborah Ann Burns, 37, told Collier County detectives that an argument ensued Tuesday night while the two were watching TV. Naples Daily News reported, Demon Hunter. Burns says that her boyfriend purposely passed gas while walking by her on his way to the kitchen. He didn't even do it in her face. He just walked by and let one go.
Boy, Sean, if that was a defense for murder, you would have been dead a long time ago.
Gone. When officers responded to a report of a possible stabbing,
Have a drink.
They found Burns. Burns' boyfriend in front of his house with cuts on his abdomen and left arm. According to a Collier County Sheriff's Office arrest report sent to the Huffington Post, that's where they found that guy. The victim told authorities that his stomach wound came from when Burns and he were arguing in the kitchen over money. He said she threw the knife at him, left the house, but came back and struck him in the arm with a stick. According to the report, the victim makes no mention of the alleged flatulence, but continually stated if Burns returned, he would kick her. When detectives interviewed Burns, she allegedly asserted that her boyfriend became agitated and began yelling only after she confronted him about his fart. Burns was arrested following the incident and charged with aggravated battery. She remains in custody on a $50,000 bond. Now, how in the heck does the guy that had sex with the peacock get out on 10 grand and she cut this guy in the rear, right, or in the abdomen? Well, I guess she tried to kill him.
Yeah, I can see it. I mean, it's aggravated assault.
Yeah, but couldn't we get the guy that screwed the peacock a $20,000 bond? I mean, 10? That's like, if that's a surety bond, that's $1,000.
Oh, man. It's 10%.
According to the Collier County arrest records, Burns was arrested 8 times between 05 and 2012 on charges including cocaine possession, failure to pay child support, and trespassing. Don't break
now, question is, when he goes into prison, it's the boyfriend in prison now, correct?
Don't fart. Yeah. No.
So,
she is.
No. She is. Okay. It's a good thing she was the one that went to prison, because if he went in and the other inmates took one look at those cuts and said, so how'd you get those cuts? He would have said, I farted. They would have just all walked away, been like, I don't want to get anywhere near that ass.
He'd have been done. Oh!
It's got razors in it.
That blonde chick's a dude?
Yeah. That is crazy. You got any more, Demon Hunter?
You know, I had one here about a Kansas woman who meets a circus tiger in the bathroom.
Really?
Central Kansas, a woman likely won't return to her first circus, not from fear of clowns or the performance, but it's because she met a tiger in the bathroom.
She's a sex demon. That's why.
It's a lot of animal stories today, Sean.
Yeah, it is.
The big cat had escaped briefly after its turn in the ring last Saturday at the Isis Shrine Circus.
Drink up.
Actually, I think I got that one right. Staff members blocked off the concession area. But a woman had entered the bathroom from a door that had not yet been blocked. About the same time, she walked in only to find herself 2 feet away from a bangled tiger.
I'll punch you in the mouth.
You don't expect to see it in the bathroom, she said. I don't even know if I can finish this one, Sean.
So did the what's the deal with animals tonight? It's like a beast.
You don't expect to see it. You don't expect to go through the bathroom door and have it shut behind you and see a tiger walking toward you.
Have you seen my wiener?
The manager of the circus said that the bathroom was only 25 feet long.
Yeah.
And I guess she was lucky to get away.
I guess. So the tiger, when the tiger walked in, he said what? He said,
I'm here for the gangbang.
Well, once she saw the tiger, I'm sure she knew it which way to go, the manager said. Overall, it was scary. It's a real moment. I'm glad no one was injured.
Did she have
Well, I'm glad no one was injured, too.
Did she have a bowel movement while she was in there?
I'm sure she was really glad she was in the bathroom, John. I would be.
A tiger!
Hey, I was going to read this story from the New York Post, but I decided not to because I was afraid it might be about you, Sean. An Indianapolis man was... Indianapolis was brought to a standstill yesterday because of a crazed naked man.
I'm here for the gangbang.
That wasn't you, right?
Oh, you never know. The guy that had sex with a peacock got out for $10,000.
Yeah. Indianapolis man brought the... I'm just reading it wrong. Indianapolis was brought to a standstill yesterday by a crazed naked man with extra human strength. Oh, no, it certainly wasn't you, Sean.
LSD, anybody?
Gilbert S.
Shrooms!
Swinzy, 36, was first spotted running through the State House complex in the buff. Police said cops followed him into the street and blasted him with pepper spray.
Blasted him.
As he allegedly tried to carjack a man. How do you carjack a man?
Well, you're naked.
And well, he still managed to escape. Yeah. Finally, he was... finally, with the area locked down, Sweezy broke into a building and was arrested while choking a man, police said.
Great googly moogly.
A blog in New Orleans... Is Davy Jones like? Oh, never mind. That was the whole story. That was it. I started to read another story, and so have two drinks on that one, folks.
I'm here for the gangbang.
You know, folks, you think that it's funny that we get all these wrong, but part of the joke, the original joke between Sean and I with this news, is we don't read the stories,
and we don't care about
because of the way they're titled.
That's right.
And we bring them to you. So you're hearing them the first time with us. And, Sean, other than that, we've got to go to our guest. But first, we have one quick stop to make.
Yes! We're running late, aren't we?
Yep, we have to warn all our friends.
Here we go. Get ready for it.
Hi, this is Matt Milk from the Zombie Research Society. And here's your weekly update from the G&D Zombie Alert System.
Thanks, Matt.
How about you, Sean and Nate?
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. Each week, we do our best to try to provide our listeners with the most up-to-date news to help them survive the possibility of a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
We look for stories of rare funguses, chemical spills, or biohazards and keep on top of CDC alerts of possible unknown diseases that could lead to a zombie invasion. It's brought to you by Midnight Syndicate and the Zombie Research Society. It's called the Zombie Alert System, and it starts right now.
I'm here for the gangbang.
For the first time since we started these alert systems, the zombie advisory has not moved. It stayed exactly the same.
Where's it at?
It's at guarded.
Okay.
We are in the blue.
Well, I thought it was at low before. I thought...
No, we can only go down one at a time.
Okay.
Right? I believe that's right. We can only go down one at a time. And since there has been no reports of zombie outbreaks, no reports of anyone being bitten while being attacked, no unusual chemical spills.
I knew a lady one time that could go down more than...
Did she bite?
You said one at a time. I don't know.
And there's been no unusual outbreaks reported by the CDC.
That's good.
We would lower this to low.
Yeah.
It's almost time to bring this down another level. But since we still have a shortage in ammunition in this country, and should an outbreak occur, we don't want to give people false hope.
False.
Although, but it's been a good week, folks. So go outside. Enjoy the spring air. Just be prepared. And if a half-dead figure starts lumbering towards you, let us know after you run and hide. So officially a guarded status.
Yeah.
And of course, if you do get attacked by a zombie because you lowered your guard, don't blame us.
You heard it here first, folks. So be happy about it, Demon Hunter. Did you tell them that? Did you tell them to be happy that they're... I wonder if people are happy. I think there's a lot of them out there that just want to... they want the zombie apocalypse.
Don't want the zombie apocalypse, folks. Don't want it.
They do. They want it. Demon Hunter, we got to go to break and bring in our guest, man.
Sounds good to me.
Tonight's guest, guys. Wow. Tonight's guest is... Hold on. I'm way off here, Demon Hunter. Tonight's
How
guest...
How far off are you, Sean?
Right there. Tonight's guest, author Peter Kleins, author of the X-Heroes series. Guys, we're going to talk zombies, superheroes, and much, much more, Demon Hunter. What do you think?
You know, folks, before we go, though, Sean is going to have to send me the phone number to call the guest this evening.
Absolutely, Demon Hunter. I'm going to send that to you right away, guys. We're going to take a break. We're going to hear a little bit more from Zombina and the Skeletones. We'll be right back.
Woohoo!
Woo!
How to make a monster.
This is Doug Jones, the Silver Surfer from Fantastic Four, Abe Sapien from the Hellboy movies, Billy Butcherson from Hocus Pocus, the Fawn from Pan's Labyrinth, and more that I don't want to talk about. But right now, you are listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Welcome back, listeners around the world. This is your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, the mystifying oracle of radio, Demon Hunter.
That would be me.
I'm going to get these buttons fixed one of these days, man. I had to walk away from the control panel, and I had Zombina and the Skeletones blaring, and I forgot that I had you still patched in, but I got you and Peter, got you off before you guys went into deep conversation. So, we're good. We're good.
Well,
it's gonna...
Do me a favor. Send me that song, will you? That was a good song.
Yeah, I'll send you that song since you and Pete got to see the whole thing. Guys, tonight's guest, author of the X-Heroes saga. We're going to talk about zombies and superheroes. We got him live in studio. Author Peter Kleins. Pete, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Outstanding. If I can get the controls right on the board here.
I'm going to give you a little tip, Sean. Jeez. I'm going to give you this tip. I don't tell many people this.
Yes.
Asking tape.
Asking. Masking tape?
Masking tape. Put it at the bottom of your board and just write what each thing is for across it.
No. Everybody has brain fart days, but...
hey, I have masking tape all over my computer.
Peter, did you have a good Mother's Day? I know you're not a mother, but was it good for you? Did you get out and tell somebody Happy Mother's Day? Or?
I did. Yeah, I got to talk to my mom for a little while, mate.
Well, there you go. Happy Mother's Day to Mama Kleins from the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Yes, I went out and said Happy Mother's Day to a lot of people, Sean. I got slapped by a few guys, but...
Okay, let's just pass that right by. But hey, hey, Pete, what's going on, man? We got you in here. I tell you what, I just want to say before we get into it, Peter, you are one classy dude. Peter sent us two of his new books, the X-Heroes series by Peter Kleins, and they are truly amazing. I got to read some of the second one. I got through the first one, and wow, that's all I got to say, Demon Hunter. I mean, nice. I got to send that one to you, but you are good, my friend. Huh? What made you think of that? Superheroes and zombies. I mean, I know back in the day they had a Marvel thing there for a little while, but it really works the way you do it.
I mean, it's funny you bring it up. The Marvel thing was what made me think of it.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't know if you remember when that first came out. Because what was that, like 2005, 2006, somewhere in there?
Yeah, I think so.
About there. I remember, like, in the comic guide and a bunch of stuff, they sort of were previewing it, and they were talking about how, well, we're going to have a zombie apocalypse in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
And I thought, that's such a cool idea, doing, like, a standard George Merrill thing, and I was thinking about heroes having last stands, and how will they deal with this, and how will they do that. And then the series came out, it really was not anything like that. It was just they put a bunch of ghouls in superhero costumes and had them talk constantly about how hungry they were.
See, I was reading your book, and I'm going to make a huge statement here. Huge statement, guys. When I was reading Peter's book, I said the Marvel series should have been like what Peter did here. Now, that's a huge statement, Peter.
Thank you.
It's a huge statement because Sean usually can't say that many words in one at one time.
That's true. Especially not this late in the show.
After my fourth class, I'm just useless.
See, yeah, that's it. That's it, man. Oh, yeah, by the way, pre-prohibition. Go ahead.
Sorry?
I was talking over you, dude.
You got us all excited, Peter. We'll give you 5 seconds. You start. Go.
Yeah.
Go. No, that's what it was. I read the Marvel series, and I knew a lot of people liked it, and for what it was, but it just, to me, it seemed like this big wasted opportunity, and I scribbled a bunch of notes of, well, here's what I would have done. I would have done this and this, and I would have wanted to see that, and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
And then what happened was about a year later, my girlfriend and I were moving in together, and I finally had, like, my own office.
Yeah.
You know, a room for nothing but writing, and I unpacked a bunch of stuff I'd been lugging around for ages, and found this old sketchbook that I'd made when I was maybe 9 or 10.
Oh, wow.
And I just filled it with sketches of superheroes I had made up when I was 9 or 10, like the Mighty Dragon and Cerberus and Zap. And I started looking at all these and thinking, you know, these are all on their own way pretty classic superhero archetypes, the superhero type guy, the energetic guy, the armored person. And I could just plug all of these into the story I wanted to tell.
Right.
And I think it'd be a pretty cool story. And so far, most people seem to agree.
See, now, and that's so cool, because when I was little, I always loved ghosts and spooky stuff and zombies and everything, too. I used to love to draw. I still do. I do cartoons here and there, nothing like what you're doing here. But I had a whole book about a haunted house, and the first page was like a stick guy walking into this shed. It was supposed to be a house, and it said Tom likes ghosts. And then, you know, page two, was that what it was like? Was it like zombies are good? You know, was that what it was when you were nine?
For me?
Yeah, when you started looking at these old sketches.
It was weird sketches like that. Honestly, I was terrified of everything as a kid.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't stand zombies, haunted houses, any of that sort of stuff.
But you were a freak over superheroes.
I was a huge superhero guy, yeah. My first rejection letter that I ever got as a writer, I was, I think, 9 years old, maybe 10, and I sent an X-Men script to Jim Shooter at Marvel Comics.
Oh, wow.
And it was awful. It was awful. I can remember parts of it. It was exactly what you'd expect a 10-year-old to write. And he actually sent back a really polite, like, personalized rejection letter.
Oh, wow.
Explaining that, well, this is a great try, and, you know, you should work a little bit more and maybe submit again later. And
that's awesome.
My best friend and I sent a letter in to Dan Aykroyd recommending the new Blues Brothers movie. And
denied.
When we heard Blues Brothers 2000 was coming out, we were like, oh, come on, he stole our idea, and then it was nothing.
So wow.
We said, okay, Dan's okay. We won't...
So you're saying Blues Brothers 2 was yours. Oh, well.
No, we had them driving a hearse, and Jake's still alive.
So what do you... What do
we
you
were just going to have Jake have plastic surgery to avoid the law, you know?
It's, yes. More like a John Dillinger type thing. Hey, I tell you, Peter, what do you... I was reading some of your bio stuff and everything. You grew up out in Maine.
I did.
Yeah. So you're out there by Nathan. Nathan's in Danbury, Connecticut area. And, were when you was growing up. What did you think of Stephen King? I mean, what were your thoughts? Everybody loves Stephen King and everything. And now you're right there on the bookshelves with him. How does that feel?
It feels amazing, honestly. It's funny because when I was growing up, was really just when Stephen King was like starting to become a name, you know, like in the late 70s, early 80s.
Right.
And my mom was a big Stephen King fan, so we had him in the house. And it was especially weird, creepy for us, for a lot of people in Maine, because a lot of stuff he mentioned, until he like created the town of Castle Rock.
Yeah.
He was using real towns.
Right.
Real towns and real streets and everything. So
which town is Derry based on?
I don't think Derry's based, but there is like a Derry, New Hampshire, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, same spelling and everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just remember in the Dead Zone at one point when Johnny's driving around, he actually drove like right past our town. Like they mentioned a traffic circle that was not far from us, and I kind of freaked out. That when I first saw, I remember my mom telling me about him. Freaked out. I actually, like I said, I was terrified with everything, so I never read Stephen King. I read when I was like 12, I decided I was going to bite the bullet and I'd read a Stephen King story. And I picked up one of his very first collections. I want to say Skeleton Crew, but it might have been the one before that.
Okay.
Good stuff. Yeah, but it was, I read The Boogeyman, if you remember that story.
Oh, yeah.
To this day, I cannot sleep with the closet door open.
Wasn't that in the same...
The closet door's open even...
Yeah, wasn't that in the same... Yeah, I'm just like that when I watched The Exorcist. I can't... I still can't to this day, man. When that chick starts spinning around, woo! Her head, but...
The Exorcist is still like one of the most terrifying movies ever made.
Oh, my God.
A lot of those movies.
It's nuts, man. But, you know, I was reading some of your... the book from the X-Hero series, and... I got to say, it can't be long before somebody approaches you with, hey, man, what do you think of Hollywood? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's just got a great basis for the whole series. I mean, Demon Hunter, you got to see that. Do you think it came, Peter, from that you're scared that these superheroes fight these zombies? Do you think it came from that, your fear as a child of these dark, shadowy, you know, zombies and monsters and ghosts?
I think a little bit. I mean, it was, you know, I got into horror when I got older, and I think it is just, it's two fun things, and you wanted, you know, like we were saying, the Marvel thing, you wanted to see these two things actually fight and interact, the way, you know, when you're a little kid and you want to see Superman fight the Hulk.
Yeah.
You know, and that sort of stuff. And that is really, I think, what it boils down to. It's just, it's a good superhero story versus a good zombie story. And on some basic little kid level, we all like seeing those things run into each other at high speed.
So, absolutely. Your favorite comic book hero was Spidey. Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yep. You've been collecting the Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man series since you were 9. I got Batman. What would you say is your favorite comic book from the Spider-Man collection?
Like, actually out of the run of them?
Yeah, if you remember.
Oh, wow.
So many of them, huh?
There's so many great little bits, because I think one of the cool things about Spider-Man has always been not that he... There aren't a lot of like single issues that really stand out. Actually, no, I take that back. You know which one does really stand out as a great issue?
Yeah.
Was the first Hobgoblin issue.
Ooh.
And it was the one that, like, on the cover, it had the Hobgoblin, like, tearing the Spider-Man costume apart.
Yeah, and he's holding the pumpkin, right? He's holding the pumpkin.
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was, like, the very first one where whoever it is, because of the time, it was just a complete mystery. Like, basically, Spidey stops some muggers, and because of this, it led to this chain of events that somebody else found all the Green Goblin equipment. And I just remember it was such a great... I don't know, ominous episode. But yeah. I've always loved Spidey because he just has all the great little human moments.
Yeah, Peter Parker.
That are, you know.
Plus his name's Peter.
All the heroes have their... We're tripping over each other. Sorry.
No, we're good to go. I've said, plus his name's Peter. Peter Kleins? Peter Parker? Hmm. I don't know there.
I might have bonded a little bit on that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, for our listeners that don't know about the X-Hero series, could you tell them a little bit about what the books are about, what's going on, and then I want to get into the book 14.
Okay. The X-Hero series, really simply put, like we've been talking about, it's a group of superheroes fighting a zombie apocalypse. It's mostly set in the aftermath, that the zombie apocalypse has come and gone, overall mankind lost, and the heroes are trying to protect a couple thousand survivors left in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Out of 9 million people in LA, we're down to about 10,000. So, that's that. You know, they're, overall, they're much tamer superheroes. You don't see anybody lifting mountains or flying around the world in half an hour or anything like that.
Right.
Just because, you know, by nature, if you've got someone who's too overpowered, it's going to take all the thrill out of this.
Oh, yeah.
So
these are
to say, do zombies have kryptonite blood? Because that would change everything.
Well, actually, one thing I did, which I was kind of happy with, and this went back to what we were talking about before with the zombie series, the comic series. I actually really put thought in, like, okay, if a superhero did get bit and became a zombie, what would happen to their powers? And I tried to sort of break it down into, if you use Superman as our template, even though you couldn't bite Superman because he's invulnerable, but assuming he'd somehow been bitten, or, I don't know, swallowed zombie blood or something, I don't know. But
the zombie had a kryptonite tooth.
Exactly, yeah. It had its it was Lex Luthor with his one kryptonite bridge piece.
Oh, man.
But Superman has, like, he sort of has, like, unconscious powers. He doesn't have to think about being invulnerable. He doesn't have to think about being strong. And I figured stuff like that a zombie would probably still have.
Right.
But Superman does have to think about using his heat vision. His heat vision isn't on all the time. His X-ray vision isn't on all the time. His flying power isn't on all the time.
Right.
So, and that was how I saw it, that superheroes who have unconscious powers will still have them. And so the downside is, you know, there are heroes wandering around doing... There's a mention in the book, and it was an idea I'd actually had that I really liked, of this big, vaguely like Hulk-type hero called Blockbuster, who got turned into a zombie. And so I just pictured this big lumbering thing wandering around, you know, as a zombie, and just smashing through the sides of buildings, because it doesn't hit them and bounce off. Mm-hmm. It just plows through them. And it's just leaving this, like, path of destruction as it wanders around the city.
Oh, wow.
Bringing buildings down on top of itself and everything.
You know, I always thought, like, with your character, which one was the one that wears the mechanical suit?
Cerberus.
Okay. I always thought with Cerberus, going into something like that, now that's scary. If you ever have to rely on a suit and you go into the middle of a zombie apocalypse, could you imagine? I mean, wonder if something goes wrong with the suit. It's man-made. It's mechanical.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, if that was your superpower, what would be your superpower, Peter, if you could go, they said you're going into the middle of the zombie apocalypse, like crazy, not slow Walking Dead type zombies, but like ravenous monkey bit me, I'm going to kick your butt type zombies and rip your throat out. What would be your, would you wear armor? Would you be like Superman? Would you be Spider-Man? What would be your power?
Well, I mean, really, we don't want to be invulnerable because right off the bat, that saves you if they can't hurt you.
No, you can't be. Let me throw that clause in, bro. You can't. Too easy. You can't be invulnerable.
I would want that ability to phase so nothing could, like, touch me.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, yeah, Peter's that kid that goes, infinity, that's it. I'm done.
You brought it up. Superman.
I should have specified.
I'd probably go with speed.
Speed.
Go like the Flash, where it's like you're vulnerable, but as long as you're paying attention, you can. Even the fast ones are not fast to you.
That's true.
So as long as you don't trip or get tired.
That's true, because I guess if you're going so fast, you're going to run through them anyway.
Yeah.
Like if there's 5 billion of them. Yeah, I wonder if there's so many of them, you get caught up.
That is the rule with zombies, Sean. You don't have to run fast. You just have to be able to run faster than the guy next to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't happen, but because I would outrun him. Now, Peter, we were talking about one of your books titled 14 by Peter Kleins. We started talking about that on the phone, and you said, man, that's hard to get into. Is there anything we can tell the folks about on the air here about 14? Because it looks like a great book.
It's a mystery book. It's gotten a ton of praise. I mean, the readers on Goodreads voted it one of the top 15 horror novels of 2012.
Right.
And BloodyDisgusting.com, if you know them, called it one of the 10 best horror novels of 2012.
Right.
It just missed getting a Stoker nomination, actually.
Oh, wow.
The Stokers have, like, their big reading list that they start off with, and then they kind of burn that down to a preliminary ballot of, this year was 9 books. And I was one of the 9 books, but I didn't make the actual, the 5 nominees.
Now, did they do the Stoker Awards this year yet?
Yeah. They haven't. I don't think they've done them yet. I know the nomination's out. I think it's June.
I know last year I actually watched it online because, and now I'm going to feel foolish not remembering his name, but the gentleman who wrote I Am Legend,
Richard
Matheson, Lifetime Achievement.
Yep.
And I remember I was watching it online because he actually broadcast live and thanked everybody. And he said, I had no idea when I was writing this. I had no idea. Do you ever feel like that? Like, okay, I'm just doing this because I love it. And all of a sudden people are saying the things like they're saying about 14 and you're like, I had no idea.
Oh God. Yeah. I honestly, when 14 came out, I thought it was going to fail miserably.
Right.
Cause it's a weird building mystery. And so much of it is, you just have to read it. You know, if you tell anybody about it, The thing I usually use when I'm talking to people at conventions and stuff is, how would you describe Lost without giving anything away? you'd say, like, well, okay, this plane crashes on an island and stuff happens.
Right.
And so I basically tell people that, and I said, this book 14 is about a guy, Nate, who moves into a really old apartment building in Los Angeles and stuff happens.
The end.
And that's what I can tell you without giving stuff away.
Hey, Peter, before we go, man, I know we got to get ready to wrap up. We had the half hour. Psycho Beach Party. I wanted to go into that a little bit. because that has like a cult following, man. What's up with that in you?
It's just the same sort of thing. It was a job. I worked in the film industry for about 15 years, and a producer I had worked with before just called and asked, we need a prop master on this thing, and I went and worked on it. I don't think any of us working on it at the time thought it was going to become like this weird big cult thing that it is. So, and then halfway through, we were filming on one of the first days, and this guy John Goodwin, who was our special effects makeup artist on it, and he and I have like a love of old horror movies, so we kind of bonded really early in prep. And they were trying to figure out what they could do because we don't want to give it away, but the actor who turns out to be the murderer. They didn't want to bring this actor in every single time, you know, to do like the person in the black shirt and the black gloves sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so John Goodwin just pointed out, well, Peter knows how all these special effects gags work. Why don't we just have him do it? And that, so if you're ever watching the movie and you see that, like, the chest down shot of the person in the black coat and the black gloves, that's me.
That's awesome.
I have a question for you, though, Peter, because I know we're
wrapping up. Yeah, sure.
Zombie apocalypse happens tomorrow.
Yeah.
Are you a fighter or a hider, a survivor or a dyer?
I'm probably a denier because I don't really think it'll happen.
No. You can't say that. It happens. I would probably
be like somewhere between a fighter or hider. You know, I live in LA, so I've got a basic crisis survival kit here.
You're in LA. Yes. We all know that's where the zombie apocalypse always starts.
Always.
Oddly it's already enough, started.
Hollywood has always shown it's starting here.
See? It's it, man.
But yeah, I've got, you know, a basic earthquake kit, so I am moderately prepared for any sort of crisis, and I'd like to think because of the kind of things I've ended up writing and doing for a living that I've probably got a little more mental resiliency than a lot of the people who just be standing on the middle of the street going, no, this can't be true. Bob, you recognize me, don't you? And then they start screaming. But
be like, hey, you're that author, Peter Kleins. Oh, my God, you're ripping my throat out.
Yeah.
See, if you were a zombie, Peter. But Demon Hunter, you got anything else for Pete? Because we're on the hour. I know he's got to go.
He's got to go, and we've got to go. And Peter, would you hang on for a second? I just want to do that recording with you we were talking about before.
The one that everyone else heard? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
I only heard a portion of it. Hey, this is Peter. Oh, hold on a second.
No.
All right, guys.
You were talking about the zombie, the Stoker Awards and stuff like that, and we were talking about Stephen King. I just wanted to know, going into this and looking at the work, obviously you've been looking into this since you were a little kid. You were talking about the stuff you wrote when you were younger. Who were your influences?
So many. I was a voracious reader as a kid. I read tons of Ray Bradbury. Ray Bradbury was a huge influence on me as a kid.
Oh, man.
He was a god.
Yeah. And obviously, I mean, Stan Lee for comics, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby.
Right.
John Byrne, actually, when I started reading comics, it was really like his big heyday. He was really coming into his own there. Originally with the X-Men, back before they were too cool and read all their own press.
Oh, yeah.
Edgar Rice Burroughs, and then once I started getting into horror, I just plowed through Stephen King, Clive Barker, and I'm actually big on the classics. I like reading Nathaniel Hawthorne. Actually,
yeah,
wrote some really seriously creepy stories.
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare. Yeah, Shakespeare wrote a ton of stuff. Dumas. The Count of Monte Cristo is one of my favorite books. I'm a big believer that you should really read everything you can.
If you watch the movies, they all have happy endings, and we all know when we read the books, they're not happy endings.
No.
Yeah, I tell you what, Peter, I've always wanted to, and apparently my ADD won't let me because I have all these great ideas to write a... Yeah, man, I got all these great ideas to write a book and everything. I should call you later and say, Peter, how do I sit down and focus? Because one of the greatest books I ever seen... Do you guys remember when we were kids, Peter, and you would have the ABC Weekend Special? You remember that?
One more time, sir.
The ABC Weekend Special.
Yeah,
you would watch cartoons all day long on Saturday. Then you would have the ABC Weekend Special, and it would go da 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 da, da, and the book would open up.
Yep.
And all. Yeah, and I seen this one called The Red Room Riddle, and Nathan's heard the story 1,000 times, but it was by author Scott Corbett, amazing author, way back when. I think he died in like 82. I'm not sure. No, I think he lived until 2000 or something like that. But he wrote The Lemonade Trick, stuff like that. Wrote a couple adult novels, mm-hmm. but mostly it was for the preteen stuff. But anyway, The Red Room Riddle is about the two kids, and they get on a dare. They go into a haunted house. You got to read this. You'll love it. It's a quick read. It's real fast. And I've always wanted to write the follow-up to that, The Red Room Riddle, because it's just like Lost. You see these books sitting on the shelf with the dust on them, and the story gets lost. You don't see it no more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to try to write the there's my story, Peter. I know it's exciting, but I've always wanted to write the follow up to that. Or Benicula. Remember Benicula?
Benicula the vampire bunny.
Yeah. Or what's the problem with Miss Switch?
Yeah.
Oh, I love those, man. But Demon Hunter, that's it.
That's it. And Sean, I know before we wrap up, we wanted to tell folks that if you want to hear your music, if you are a musician, part of a band, anything like that, if you have music out there and you'd like to hear it on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, submit your music to contact@ghostanddemon.com. I want people to send music in so we can play it on the show.
Absolutely. Guys, hey, Peter Kleins, author of the X-Heroes novel, and it's actually a series now, right, Peter?
Yeah, the second book just came out in April, third book's in July.
Do you have any websites or anything you'd like to get people out? How do they get your books?
Books are pretty much everywhere. People are telling me they're in airports now and bookstores, everything.
Oh, wow.
Easiest place to find me, it's lame, but I'm on Facebook. There's a little Facebook fan page with a photo of me trying to look like an author.
It looks great. You got the hair all up. You look like Nathaniel Hawthorne.
You got the skull in there. Yeah. No, it's all good.
Got the tie loose. You're like, hey, look at me.
Hey, and
now all you need's an opium addiction, and you'll be. That's terrible. Or what was the drink they always used to do?
Absinthe.
Absinthe. Yeah.
Absinthe. Yeah.
Go down and hang with Poe. All right, guys. Thank you so much, Peter Kleins, author of the X-Heroes Series 14 and the Junkie Quarantine. We never even got to, or the Junkie Quantrain. And we never got to even...
Quantrain, Sean.
Quantrain. We never even got to get into that one. But that's it, guys. Special thanks. That's right. Special thanks to Peter for coming on the show. Special thanks, guys, to Serial Weird. Check out SerialWeird.com and all their magazines they got up there. Midnight Syndicate, thanks for providing the music for tonight. And Creations by Souls Denounce. Thank you so much, guys, for everything and supporting us. And, hey, Demon Hunter, this has been another Haunted Backroads exclusive interview. And we'll see you next time. Hey, don't go changing America. You know we won't, Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
We love you, guys. Have a great week.